that's why I say the protest. You gon' do before this. That's why I say the protest. You gon' do before this. Long sun stay shining, I stay grinding. Rain check still smiling. Gather round full fast before you gather round for your mask. While they mask the truth, I'm asking you, ain't there something you can do to tell the truth to someone new or even someone old? Don't matter, you heard it. Not a story needs told. Can't wait till they burn it. We in a whole well universe. When they sell in hell and we rehearse. So do what you wanna see them showing up. No, you're just doing what they want, son. That's why I say the protest. You gon' do before this. That's why I say the protest. You gon' do before this. Long as sun stay shining, I stay grinding. Rain check still smiling. Been the same since the 60s. Got us this far. Where the hell is we? And where we going next? 20 countries run the world. That got me vexed. So I say screw a text. Make them bleed with the screed. So the people feel blessed. Can't chill, feeling stressed. I'm young and I'm best. Post no bills, I say hell yes. So what you stand for, if you really stand for it before. On the streets there's a war, for the minds of the poor, who late for the war. Worldwide rebellion, can't you see, for some rock concert yelling. Fans blowing off steam, ain't spelling the way out, that's why I'm yelling. That's why I say, the protest, you gon' do before this. That's why I say the protest, you gon' do before this. That's why I say the protest, you gon' do before this. Long as sun stays shining, I stay grinding, rain check still smiling.
Morning, CKLM listeners. It is June 1st, 2010. You are listening to CKLM's Rude Awakening. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. To start off the show today with a song I wrote and recorded last night, still in the mixing stages of that, having some latency issues. For those of you folks out there who don't know about music and music programming, although this is, I think, general for computers, if your computer isn't that fast, then it'll just start slowing and acting a little clunkier when you're running a lot of stuff. And so, apologies, haven't put that out. Haven't put out You Will Control My Mind yet. Haven't put out the Pop Culture Vulture yet for download out there if any of you are interested. But they will be out there soon. I'm going to just, you know, launching all that stuff into the world today. Because, to paraphrase Eminem, this is what the F I do. Definitely try and say what I think needs to be said, even if, you know, even if it's not popular, you know, even if it's not popular, even if it's the type of thing that, you know, people will say, hey, 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 and because I get a lot of this. I get a lot of this. I get, yeah, you're right, but don't say it. And I'm thinking, maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's why, you know, here in the 21st century with access to thousands of years of history and activism and just there's lots of things that people can do today based on the fact that there's lots of things going on today that people are doing today. But maybe not talking about it prevents us from thinking about it. And then if we don't talk about it and think about it, then we don't get anything done about it. And so the song's called F a Protest. You know, and I chopped out the F words only for the hook, by the way. The rest of the song is clean, but the song is called F a Protest. What you go, you know, F you going to do before this. And it's fitting. Let's see if I can do this here. Yeah, no, I think I got this. Beautiful. All right, so and it's quite fitting because in my mind, in my opinion, and based on some of the research that I have done into the New World Order, the Anglo-American establishment, the forces behind globalization, the forces calling for meetings like at the G20 here in Toronto in the next 3 weeks or so, that are ostensibly to create a global governance structure. So these are their political puppets, and their political puppets are selling to us that this is all being done by logical and at least semi-democratic means, when in fact behind the strings they are controlled by, of course, the powerful powers that be evil in the world, including the banking families that have run the world, the colonial powers and their descendants, as I often say on the show, because I think it's the easiest way to explain it. And every time I hear an easier one, then I try and adopt that or elements of that into my style. So back to the G20 and back to the protest. What's the point of all this? What is the point of the protest? You know, if you want to show up and play hockey, you know, and you bring a stick and I don't, I know you're going to win. And if there's a whole bunch of cops there and you know, all they're doing is training, you know, so that they can treat this like a big football game, cops, soldiers, private military contractors, what is the point of all that? I mean, it you know, maybe it's brave, but is it smart? And that's a key. And so, you know, here on June 1st, 2010, here on CKLN Radio 88.1 FM, as your host of CKLN Rude Awakening, inheritor of this time slot for 4 days a week, I'm going to stress that point. And you know, I don't want anyone feeling bad for anyone else in giant communist Canada groupthink, you know, collectivist way, because that's the whole thing. I get some more songs coming up. I got a whole bunch of million songs about all these things. But the bottom line is that don't speak for anyone else. Don't accuse me for anyone else. Don't accuse anyone else for anyone else. Think of this stuff yourself, because the outrage that a lot of us are taught to feign isn't consistent. It's just to attack people. So, for example, I'll say, the protest, what's the point? You know, what's going on here? And then, you know, someone might say, oh, what's wrong with you? There's people putting lots of time and work and effort into this. And you know, how can you say that? You know, you shouldn't say that about, you know, people or about whatever. Well, fair enough. The problem is that I don't think that's an honest conversation. And I don't think it takes the problems that we have to deal with very seriously. If it really is, you know, I feel like doing this, and so you have to respect it, and I don't feel like, you know, even considering any better options, and you have to respect it because I'm a nice person, and if you try and, you know, disagree with me, then you're a not nice person. And there are elements of that throughout our culture here. We're, you know, halfway through 2010, heading into the 2012 world government, about a year and a half. Deep into the North American Union, by all estimations, and by the estimation of the new film United We Fall by Brian Law and Dan Dix at pressfortruth.ca. I got an interview with my colleague Dan Dix from yesterday, just to catch you up on the fact that they, at Press for Truth, have been very busy before the G20 filming Toronto police terror drills in the CIBC Commerce Court underground, getting arrested being asked for ID and then refusing to show it because we shouldn't have to show ID here like you would in fascist countries. And even if there's a heightened G20 risk, fine. Then you know, keep your eyes open a little wider. Don't bother us. Like, you don't have to bother people without probable cause every time they, you know, get near something that you say might be blow-upable. So in a nutshell, with respect to the protests, I see that the CIA controlled the culture in the 60s. They controlled the drugs and the hippies and the turn-on, tune-in, drop-out, you know, sexual free love, all that stuff, because they wanted to basically destroy the stable family structures that were leaving the 50s. And in doing this, as far as I can tell, they've engineered this protest model where, you know, a bunch of people, there could be 10,000, there could be 100,000 here for the G20 in Toronto, where they all get together and they all, you know, blow off some steam. They all yell at, you know, the front men for the front men for the front men for the real bad guys. And and they don't make a particularly good, you know, impression on TV because they do tend to need to oversimplify their messages in that format. The way that they've been demonized so far, if you just look at footage from Pittsburgh last year, I was watching some last night, and you know, the footage from the events is basically the cops have been told, you know, they go at them. This is part of the thing, and if they get unruly, let them know who's boss. And I'm sure there's some reason behind it, like you let it get out of hand, there could be a stampede, and then a little kid could die. You wouldn't want that, would you? So yeah, if they start looking like they get out of line, make sure you crack them back in line or whatever cockamamie excuse they're given. But the point is that people get together and they basically blow off some steam, and they don't think about what to do before then. They don't think about how to attack the power structure attacking them before then, by and large, for the most part. And they don't think about how to reach out to people who don't know this stuff. They also often don't have any helpful information, which is tragic. And this is the problem with a lot of people that are narrowly focused on giant international issues. It's that all they can do is get mad at and frustrated by and mad at giant international institutions, as opposed to, you know, letting normal people, average people know, listen, this category of information that's largely kept out of the mainstream media, there's stuff in here you can use right now, particularly the health tips, the wealth tips, the relationship tips, you know, and ways of interpreting the world around us, as well as, you know, the bigger picture, the global power structure. So people kind of lock themselves in a box where they're like, you know, they want to get out there and they want to go, screw you, bad guys, yeah! How dare you take away our free speech? How dare you? The people will resist this. And they're basically yelling at people that don't want to listen and that weren't listening before and that have never listened when 100,000 or even a million people showing up, because there's just no point. They know. They know that, you know, if 100,000 people show up in Toronto and they can withstand that for a day or two, then those people will probably just go home. And that's where it becomes tragic, because if those 100,000 people decided to use, you know, a fraction of their energy, their courage, their bravery that they are going to use on the day itself to try and get the word out about, you know, what these issues are, what these mean, you know, how ordinary people are affected. If they tried to do that early, then it's entirely possible that they could actually get something done on this more than experience a cathartic release with you know, thousands of other like-minded individuals. And that's the point. And that's the plan. And that's why I wrote the song. And that's why I would recommend people out there do more than just go to the protest. Because this is not just philosophizing. This is, if you have a G20 group of countries and the evil interests they represent screwing the whole world, well, what do you do about it? And if getting together and expressing your anger is the best that we can think of, then, you know, we need to develop better models. But on that note, a gentleman from the CBC's National named Rex Murphy has done a phenomenal job of breaking down, you know, what the pointlessness of all this. And, you know, got to hand it to Mr. Murphy. You know, this is an excellent clip. I saw it last night. Check out his thoughts on the protest model.
No walkabouts out of the royals. Why then are they meeting in the middle of Canada's most populous city when the very idea of meeting, interacting with, or making a presentation to any of the city's people is absolutely impossible? They could meet on the Funks, remote and uncrowded even by Newfoundland standards, and see more people. Once inside the summit venue, the leaders and their
Sorry about that, CKM listeners. Having a little magical problem here with the internet. Don't know what that was. But yeah, Mr. Murphy from the CBC is... he's back.
Let's take the Toronto G20 summit. No one from the general public will be meeting with the world leaders. Summits are not for mingling. No walkabouts out of the royals. Why then are they meeting in the middle of Canada's most populous city when the very idea of meeting, interacting with, or making a presentation to any of the city's people is absolutely impossible? They could meet on the Funks, remote and uncrowded even by Newfoundland standards, and see more people. Once inside the summit venue, the leaders and...
And it's very odd, but Mr. Murphy is making an excellent point here, courtesy of the CBC's and National... from May 27, 2010, the leaders are cloistered off. Ugh, what messiness. Here we go.
...and effectively sealed off from every other bit of Toronto outside their fortified meeting rooms and security-proofed hotels. Effectively, they will come to Toronto, stay behind a shield of impassable security, merely to talk to leaders, most of whom they've already met. It makes zero sense. There's another objection. In older, less cynical days, the leaders of the world enjoyed some genuine prestige. There was a sense that a city was receiving an honor when the leaders from other countries visited. Not now. In a world rocked with recession, Europe on the brink, terrorism and the threat of terrorism, an always present obligato, there is not only no thrill to leaders visiting.
All right, CKM listeners, sorry about that. I've been having some major internet troubles recently wherever I go. I couldn't even upload last Thursday's show after I went to the Globalist meeting on Wednesday night. The Enbridge E3 Corporate Knights Roundtable Sustainable Energy Meetings. And so as a result of that, suspicious. And I mean, I couldn't upload it here at Ryerson. I couldn't upload it. I couldn't upload the show. And is this thing going to load? All right, we'll see. I couldn't upload the show here at Ryerson. There's a main studio I'm in right now, the broadcast studio. Then there's a production studio. And then there's an adjoining studio. Both of them have internet access, but neither of their internets worked for me. And then I did come back in here to check in the main studio briefly to see that the internet here was working. So who the heck knows? Who the heck knows? Who the heck knows? You'll have to bear with me. You'll have to be patient. I'm doing my best here to break down some issues that are of importance to the city and to the world with respect to the G20. Once again, I'm going to try Mr. Murphy because I really would like to play this clip. He does quite a brilliant job. I do pick on the mainstream media, but at the same time, I know that most people out there who are anti-New World Order crusaders, truthers, conspiracy theorists, whatever, most of the information they trust is from the mainstream media, and if it's not, they won't trust it. And so, if it was reported in the Baltimore Sun or the Houston Chronicle, as Alex Jones will often say about the FEMA camps, or the New York Times, Halliburton, a $480 million contract to build FEMA camps, well... And it's true, immigration detention centers for Kellogg, Brown & Root, a Halliburton subsidiary, Halliburton being the military and professional services company operating worldwide and especially in Iraq, formerly headed by Dick Cheney. The bottom line is that we need the mainstream media when they do good work. We need to reflect and respect that good work and encourage more of it. Because at this time we can't again, just like with the protests, we can't just settle on conclusions just because we feel like it. So, Mr. Murphy from the CBC's The National on the protest model.
Why do you think at these summits so frequently they drag in poor, tired old Bono, except to get a little secondhand celebrity sauce for an otherwise very flat meal? Finally, from Seattle to Quebec City to Toronto next month, who really owns these summits? With the leaders invisible under their security blankets, they belong to the protesters. Summits are the high holy days, the carnival of ritual protest and vacuous street theater. You can't hold a global anything these days, even a joyful event like the Olympics, without the tired kabuki of protest groups jamming the streets, shouting their impenetrable litany of anti-everything, accompanied, of course, by the usual band of black-masked pseudo-anarchists allergic to Starbucks and thirsty for the two-day fame a little provocation or a lot of violence can bring them. The leaders may own the meetings. The protesters own the cameras. Finally, I know we're in the age of large numbers, but can anyone seriously rationalize spending close to $1 billion, to hold a pair of meetings? And that's just for the security. This one consideration in itself is obscene. It'll only cost $1 billion for 20 people to meet for a few days because of where they meet. FaceTime, as the ugly phrase has it, is valuable, but it's not worth $1 billion, nor a fraction of it, in the middle of this recession. Meet in the White House, or in a resort, or, if space is a consideration, at Al Gore's new house. Anywhere but in 21st century downtown of a modern city, where security suffocates the meeting, and protesters are given the most expensive magnifying glass the world has ever known. For The National, I'm Rex Murphy.
And we're back, CKL listeners. That again was Rex Murphy from The National. And so shout outs to Mr. Murphy for very succinctly identifying G20 Toronto, $1 billion for security, for what? I should have brought the audio. I did capture the audio yesterday for a different project I'm working on. But this is from InfoWars Canada on YouTube. It has 165 views. And it's from 3-4 days ago, so it's quite shocking. Although people think it's obvious that $1 billion is too much. But if it's obvious, what should our obvious response be? And that's something that we should try and figure out, because they're just gonna keep slapping us with this nonsense, and they're gonna, 5 cents a bag, $8 a light bulb, you got to use 9 different bins, to put your tins in, and they have no money, they got no money, but our governments are broke, they're broke, but when they invite their friends over for a couple of days of partying, they tend to find $1 billion to pay for the security. So before all this goes down, the next few weeks are going to be crazy. I've been warning about this. Release 16 solutions that we could use, I think, on April 17th. And so that's been out there. Got a G20 flyer. My colleagues at TorontoTruthSeekers.com, who, having some minor issues with, just because I'm a real, go person. And nothing against them. They're just not, on different wavelengths. I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but I'm going to bed at 1:30 in the morning, waking up at 4:30 and coming down here. And I'm not recommending you do. I'm not. I'm really not. But I am recommending you do something, and I'm definitely recommending you do something before the G20 protest, so that you make use of that passion. You make use of that disdain. You make use of that knowledge. You make use of who you are at this time when you know this is a big deal. If it's a big deal, don't just wait for the big deal. Make a big deal out of it beforehand. But on that note, I have an interview with Mr. Dan Dix from PressForTruth.ca I'd like to play, because Mr. Dix is an expert on these areas, and he and his Press for Truth colleagues have been doing some wonderful work about the G20.
2020 coverage. And also, we do have a premiere screening for that film coming to the Bloor Cinema on Friday, June 18th. So if anybody wants to check it out on the big screen and see it, you know, a couple weeks before the rest of the world, you can get tickets at conspiracyculture.com or pressfortruth.ca, or you can just show up and get your tickets at the door. But that's what what we've been up to lately.
And again, it's the Bloor Cinema at Bloor and Bathurst. Tickets are $10 each, and that's June 18th, 7 to 9 p.m. Is that that's a Sunday?
That is a Friday night.
Friday night, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be hosted by Richard Sirrett, Richard Sirrett of The Conspiracy Show on AM 740, and also Patrick White of Conspiracy Culture is going to be co-hosting the event. And after the film screening, there will be a question and answer period with myself and the director, Brian Law. We would love to have people come out to that.
And that's right. Richard Sirrett's host of AM 740 Conspiracy Show from Sundays, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., I believe. And, of course, Patrick's great Conspiracy Culture stories at Queen and Roncesvalles. So a variety of info there, as well as, of course, tickets for United We Fall. Now, this is a sequel of sorts, just because time has passed, really, by a different director. The Nation's Deathbed was your previous film, directed by Steve Davies, again, produced by yourself and both of you. Shot the majority of that film, and with respect to The Nation's Deathbed and United We Fall, The Nation's Deathbed dealt with the protests in Montebello against the Security and Prosperity Partnership. It dealt with some speakers around the Security and Prosperity Partnership and the merger of Canada, America, and Mexico into a North American Union without our permission, which any journalist could have found by Googling SPP and going to spp.gov, so you can find the original. You know, the site that has the majority of the public documentation, and of course Judicial Watch sued for the private stuff. But that in a nutshell gets us up to date on the public-private partnerships and corporations being guaranteed ownership of certain services or resources as part of these trilateral trade deals arranged by working groups they control. Now, on to United We Fall. This is a new film about this, updated. You've actually got some globalists on here firsthand, saying what they think. This is fascinating stuff because, honestly, you treated them respectfully. Seems like they treated you respectfully. And they pretty much laid out, you know, what their vision of the world is from where they're coming from. Can you give us a bit about United We Fall? Get us excited about the film. And then, of course, we'll break down the G20. But first, United We Fall, it's almost wrapped. It's pretty much wrapped. It's done. Premieres on June 18th. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke with all the major players who are involved in the push towards North American Union. We spoke with Bilderberg members, Trilateral Commission members, members of the Council on Foreign Relations. We've spoken with the President of the Canadian Council and Chief Executives. We spoke with the father of the Amero, Herbert Grubel. We spoke with Robert Pastor. We also spoke with Alan Gottlieb, who is a Bilderberg member and Trilateral Commission member. He's a former ambassador, Canadian ambassador to the U.S. From 81 to 89. So we have a lot of the major players who are involved in the push towards this thing, but we also interviewed a lot of political activists and journalists who have really been at the forefront of this fight, people like Luke Radowski. We have people like Alex Jones in the film. So we really try to present both sides of this issue. By showing, both sides of the argument coming straight from the horse's mouth of the people who are involved for the push towards this thing. So that's the film in a nutshell. The subtitle of the film is Three Nations, Two Sides, One Union. So we want to leave it up to the viewer to decide for themselves if they think that this is a good idea or not.
And you and or Brian Law shot in three countries to get the story of three sides, or three countries, two sides, and one union, at least potentially as the globalists want to engineer it and to a large extent have. But again, there are people involved in this, so can you talk about the reactions of people in all three countries to the idea of a North American Union that, by and large, most people are unawares of?
Yeah, for sure. For this film, we've traveled to Washington, we went to New York, we filmed in Mexico, also Vancouver, and also Quebec, so Ottawa. We've been all over for this film, and in the case of the people we spoke with in Mexico, a lot of them are literally completely unaware of even things like NAFTA, that a lot of the merchants that we spoke to in Mexico are not even quite clear about how NAFTA affects them. And, you know, this is something that came out back in 1994, and we just spoke with them, you know, a few months ago, and they still don't really understand how the whole thing works. So it's very interesting. We do have the Mexican perspective of this, which a lot of people, you know, there are films out there that delve into this topic, but they kind of leave, you know, Mexico out of the picture. But, you know, three nations are going to be affected by this, so that's why we felt it was important to interview Mexicans. We also went to New York to interview Luke Radowski, founder of We Are Change. He is a very prominent truther in this movement who's been fighting against these types of things. Those are some of the places we went to, some of the people we spoke to.
Fantastic. And basically these deals seem to me to be written by people that benefit, that are in charge of corporations, you know, financial, you know, houses and so on. And for the last few decades, the problems of the world have by and large been getting worse, and we're now in an age of crisis, and it appears we're in an age of chaos, and there's this sort of new world order being formed, a global governance structure where we're all being told, look, we all have to agree to these rules, or you know, we're not going to be safe, and the world will, you know, the world needs to think this way. If it doesn't, then it's you know, you might be part of a failed state, or in an individual country, you might be a failed human. So you know, with the history of NAFTA and the history of these deals, you know, have the people ever benefited? And you know, if not, why? And with respect to that, you know, what's next?
Well, these deals are done incrementally. Nobody, you know, in Canada or the States or Mexico wants a North American Union at this point. So the globalists know this, and they realize that they have to do things incrementally. You can chart it back as far as the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs, which I believe was in 1948. And then from there, it progressed on to the Free Trade Agreement, which was in the late 80s, early 90s. From there, it progressed to the North American Free Trade Agreement. From there, it went on to the Security and Prosperity Partnership in 2005. Since then, they have moved on to the North American Leaders Summit. So really, they've been doing this thing incrementally. And in the film, we chart, we follow this thing past, present, and future. We show you the progression chronologically of these trade deals and where it has led us to today. But then we also get into the bigger picture about how this North American Union could be basically another step towards a global government, or a New World Order type one world government. So we explore the possible future that could be coming out of these deals.
Well, speaking of global government, we have the G20 meeting coming up, June 26th and 27th, here in Toronto, Canada, with the self-identified 20 nations who are basically running a world full of 200 nations. Didn't really see any sort of formalization of this process in a democratic or public way. So they're using their economic muscle in a world that's controlled by a globalized banking system to say, yeah, we run things now, and we're going to chart the course for the world because we have the most influence on the world. And so that's their logic. You've been covering the G20. Your videos on this have probably reached 50 to 100,000 people. YouTube.com/weavingspider is where people can go. A bit of an esoteric reference, but if you look into these things, that's what you find. And so if you keep looking, you'll run into it. But the bottom line is, tell us a bit about your work on the G20.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing our best to try to keep up with the latest information on things that are coming out in regards to the G20. And I have managed to put together a pretty solid team to cover the event. We've got, right about now, I'm sitting at somewhere around 13 to 15 cameramen that I have. We have three video editors, one still photographer. We have a number of people who are going to be helping me basically cover the event. We're going to basically station some of our reporters at the Toronto Film Studio, where they're planning on, you know, using as a holding facility for any arrests that may be made. We'll have some of our people down at Queen's Park to cover the protest angle from that area. We will have people just outside the so-called red zone that is going to be closed off around the Metro Toronto Convention Centre to cover anything that's going on there. I am currently going through the accreditation process to get the proper media passes to get one of our people inside the convention center. So it's a bit of a lengthy process. I've had to get my business registration number, apply, you know, to the government, get the proper credentials, so that we can, as Free Press, get into this meeting and report on it from the inside, because, you know, the only people who are getting in there at this point are mainstream media. So we're going to be covering everything on the outside from every possible imaginable angle, and also from the inside. And our goal is going to be to show the world what's happening as it happens. Basically, we're going to be uploading footage as quick as we can. You know, anything that happens, we will try to get it up and online so that everybody can see what occurred as quick as possible. And that's our goal that we're focusing on for the G20. Now, we, you know, I this is still tentative, but we are setting up an event where we will have Luke Radowski of We Are Change and Charlie Beach of the Love Police are going to be coming down to Toronto to protest and document the G20. So we're currently working on an event. It hasn't been booked yet, but stay tuned to pressrecruit.ca for more info on that. And as soon as we get that confirmed, that'll be on Sunday, June the 27th, after you know, the whole G20 summit is done. We're going to have an event to talk about solutions and to raise money so that all the proceeds can go to the homeless who have been displaced as, you know, a result of the G20 coming to town. So those are some of the things that we're going to be busy with in the month of June.
And that's the end of June, and it sounds like you've got that well planned out here at the end of May. But not only that, Dan, you guys have actually been hitting the streets before. In addition to the great Press for Truth work that you've done this year, you confronted, or you basically went to an Al Gore event at the CNE, and then were wrongfully, you know, almost arrested there, and wrongfully assaulted by a security guard who asked you to basically stand on the road or go a few blocks away as opposed to being able to film in public. So that was your that's what happened at the CNE. Since then, you filmed a Toronto terror drill taking place in the underground at CIBC's Commerce Court, and you've also run into other security issues. The security says because of the heightened risk or alert around the G20, our security forces, either private security or police, can now violate our rights as opposed to simply stepping up surveillance and not bothering us. So that, in a nutshell, is sort of what you've done. But can you expand on that nutshell? What's been happening that Press for Truth has documented and that people can find at pressfortruth.ca?
Well, we are, as you said, running into a lot of, you know, security when we're out there on the streets with our cameras doing our report. And what we're trying to do is set somewhat of a precedent be an example to people to show them that when police or private security guards come up to you and ask you for ID, you do not have to give it to them. Here in Canada, I mean, in countries like China, in countries like, you know, Colombia, you have to present your papers upon request. But this is Canada. And just because the G20 is coming to town doesn't mean that our rights have to be suspended, you know, to guarantee us, you know, security and safety. So we feel it is very important to stand up for your rights and to say, you know what, unless I'm doing something illegal, I do not have to show you my identification. And that's exactly what we've been doing. We've been, you know, successful at it, and people are starting to see that, hey, you know what, I always thought that if a cop asks you for your ID, you have to give it to him, but you don't. And the fact that G20 is coming to town should not suspend these rights that we have under the Canadian Constitution and our Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
Yeah, you know, my father said that he knows that we don't have to give ID unless we're doing something wrong. If a police officer asks, this is not apartheid South Africa where they say papers please and you've got to turn them over or you can get hauled off, or Nazi Germany for that matter. And yet I told him in response that I'm afraid the younger generation doesn't remember that as well as you do. And so that's why it's important, the work you're doing to maintain this. Through the course of that, though, you know, they are still asking, and they're asking because they want to see it. One of your colleagues, Brian Law, director of the new film United We Fall, premiering on June 18th at the Bloor Cinema, was arrested actually for doing this, and he's currently either contemplating or in the midst of legal action. Can you talk about that, or can you give us an update on his case?
Yeah, for sure. Immediately after Brian went down to Toronto Police Headquarters to get a copy of the arrest report, and at first they said they don't have any record of the arrest. So right away we were thinking, you know what, then that was an illegal arrest. He was placed in handcuffs. He was his bags were searched. They pulled his wallet out of his pocket and checked his ID. So eventually he found out that he can pay to get a record of arrest report sent to him. They did say it's going to take 30 days. So we are waiting to see what they did write on this report. And we are prepared to take legal action. I mean, we very well may have a civil liberties lawsuit on our hands because, you know, under the Charter of Rights, under Section 2, we have freedom of the press. You know, Section 8 and 9 talk about, you know, unreasonable search and seizure and illegal detainment, all of which were violated by the Toronto Police on that day. So, yeah, we are going to be taking this matter to court because we feel, you know, the loss of freedoms and rights in any country, really, is always a slippery slope. So every little step of the way that you see that we're moving any step closer towards any kind of a tyranny must be stood up. You know, you have to stand up and fight against it at every little tiny step of the way. So we feel this is extremely important and, you know, we have nothing against the police officer who did this. We don't want, you know, to go after him. We want to go after his bosses and their bosses and find out why they are telling their officers that because of the G20 that, you know, certain things under the charter are to be suspended. So, yeah, we're tentatively going to be taking this matter to court.
Fantastic. And ironically, on today's Metro, page 3, Mary Agnes Welch, the president of the Canadian Association of Journalists, gave the Code of Silence Award to the Toronto Police Services for basically their, quote, sheer stamina in denying people information. Again, I shot the sheriff. I didn't shoot the deputy. Everyone does what their boss tells them to, and if the police are harassing us, it's not necessarily because they're making an active choice to, in some cases, of course, but in most cases, especially around the G20, it is because it's policy, and if that policy violates our rights, it's good to challenge it. And, of course, to get some information from the Toronto Police Services, who shouldn't be secretive if they have nothing to hide. Awesome stuff, Dan. Any final thoughts on the G20? What do you want for people? What do you suggest people do? And who do you suggest they visit to learn more about these issues?
Well, anybody who is planning on attending, I would just first of all, I would suggest bring protection. The Toronto Police has just ordered 4 LRAD cannons, long range acoustic device. So bring earplugs. Bring goggles, bring gas masks if you have it. And I mean, it's a shame. It's a shame that we have to do that. You know, we have to show up in gas masks and goggles and earplugs just to voice our displeasure about international banksters coming to our town to further their agenda for a new world order. So I would just say to people, you know, be careful, but be vigilant. Bring a camera and expose what is going on. Do not engage in any kind of violence or any kind of aggressive behavior because that, you know, that does nothing except provides the police with an excuse to clamp down even harder on our rights. So remain calm, be safe, bring protection, and most importantly, bring a camera.
Absolutely. A camera is a crucial weapon in the info war. And here on May 31st, 2010, we're just under a month from the G20 summit, so people can certainly take action by spreading info about the G20, about what they're up to, about the globalist plans. Infowars.com is a great place, pressfortruth.ca, conspiracyculture.com. Lots of great sites out there to share info on the G20, flyers, DVDs, the new film Invisible Empire by Jason Burmes. Just going to the G20 protest itself is probably worthwhile to show the number of people that are opposed to these policies, but more consistent activism that reaches out to people that don't already know could also come in handy at this time. And if by the time the G20 gets here and the media spins it as a bunch of violent, crazy, know-nothing protesters against people trying to maintain stability in the world, you know, through the political and economic system, and if that is by the time the media spins it as that, if we get our act together early, it's entirely possible that that spin won't work.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've already begun their spin campaign, if you will, especially with the firebombing that occurred in Ottawa a couple weeks ago. They are already trying to use that situation to justify the $1 billion that is being spent by the Canadian taxpayers. $1 billion of our money is going towards security. And they are using things like the firebombing, the vandalism, you know, tactics of the Black Bloc, these sorts of things as an excuse to clamp down on our freedoms even more.
Unbelievable, yeah, $1 billion. And our governments say they're broke, but when they invite their friends over for dinner, they got $1 billion to foot the bill. Dan Dixon, PressForTruth.ca, keep up the great work, and thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Dan Dix from PressForTruth.ca. New film, United We Fall, screening at the Bloor Cinema June 18th. That's Friday, June 18th from 7 to 9 p.m. Hosted by Richard Serrett and Patrick from Conspiracy Culture, great book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. Now, as you heard Dan say, you know, talking about the $1 billion worth of security and so on, you know, this security here is and it's a big issue, and it's a big issue, and it's not just a big issue because a lot of people think about it or you know, it should be or whatever. It's a big issue because it can be used to explain, you know, how excessive, you know, most security measures by governments are, and also, of course, explain how governments are often caught provocateuring incidents so that they can increase their security forces and what they call security, you know, to our faces, they really call control behind our backs. Because that's what security turns into when it runs rampant, when it gets out of hand. And this isn't even against those darn terrorists, that are supposedly everywhere. Because for most international summits, international meetings, you don't need $1 billion worth of security, you know, to guard against terrorists. This is purely against the people who, by and large, are nonviolent and completely disarmed. And that's why this is insane. It's an insane model on its face. I'm looking at this these days kind of like an alien that, you know, came to this planet and goes, wow, that's how you guys want to affect political change? You people with weapons, clearly working in an organized fashion to contain. You people without weapons, clearly, you know, yelling stuff in a semi-organized fashion, you know, but ultimately, when the guys with the guns and sticks and body armor, you know, move towards you, you got to move back. And that's the problem with the protest model, is that that's essentially what it turns into. Whereas if you are exercising your free speech rights like Brian Law, Steve Davies and Dan Dix and others at Press for Truth are, among many others in this city, by getting out there right now, by shooting some videos, breaking down the police state preparations, distributing some information and flyers and DVDs, putting up some posters, things that have been done for hundreds or even thousands of years, then you're not going up against guys in body armor, you know, with guns or sticks all amped up at the giant football game, just ready to let loose on anybody that messes with them. Because instead, you're walking around on hopefully a reasonably nice day, although rain check's still smiling, because if I get stuff done on a nice day, then when it's a crappy day, I don't feel as bad about it. But on a nice day, you can get a few things done, and you can skip that process of banging your head against a wall of militarized police and soldiers, and instead open up some lines of communication with good old regular folk. But I am here at the metronews.ca from Toronto. It says here, wanted 1,100 extra security guards for G8 G20. There are some jobs police won't do at the upcoming G8 and G20 summits, and for those duties, there will be 1,100 security guards provided by a private security firm. Contemporary Security Canada has posted job openings for security screeners who will be using metal detectors to vet people going into the security meet perimeters in Toronto and Huntsville. Guards are expected to work from June 15th to 28th, clocking as many as 120 hours. Meanwhile, a director with a Toronto security firm said a work order has been distributed that requires security guards be posted at GO Transit stations, quote, all across the line. What do these people think of us? You know, this is unbelievable. You know, what do they think of us and to be doing this to us? And what do we think of them to be playing along with this? You know, like we can't see this is all staged. We can't see that, you know, the more people that show up at a protest that you know they're spending $1 billion on security for, the more we'll justify to the general public the need for that $1 billion. So what does that mean? I mean, don't go to the protest. Everybody's planned. People come from all over. The G20 is so evil. Oh my God. Well, do whatever you want, folks. But I'll tell you this much. You know, if this is what you stand for, then you should try and stand for it before the G20, and perhaps even after. Don't just show up at the rock concert, blow off some steam, and go home. That's my advice out there. Take it for what it's worth, and what it's worth to you, because, you know, what's worth more to you? Doing, you know, the politically correct thing, or taking care of this problem? Because if you do the politically correct thing, controlled by the establishment, then you'll go there, you'll yell, the cops will act nuts, you know, you'll act nuts, people will get covered in tear gas, there's going to be some injuries, and then that'll do. That'll be it. And their side will spin it one way. Our side will spin it another. Their side will reach more people. Our side will reach our people. And we'll say, wow, didn't that suck? So, yeah, I'm hoping here in the 21st century we can do better. But nonetheless, I got a crispy copy of the Metro here. And so gonna break down a couple of stories for you here. Here's the stuff that we're taught to think about. Mulroney hid dealings, inquiry, page 6. You know, it seems like they just bring Mulroney out to smack him around every few years. An Airbus scandal and now this. And these are old scandals to take our mind off new ones. Because, again, these inquiries, you know, what does that really mean? But, you know, we'll take a look here. It's on page 6 of the Metro. Former Prime Minister hid dealings, says a report. Oliphant blasts, quote, inappropriate relationship. Never criminal with these guys. Now I'm sounding like Alan Watt from CunningsandMatrix.com. Never criminal with these guys, eh? All they do... I can't, my Scottish isn't working right now. Not with the speed, anyway. But Oliphant blasts, quote, inappropriate relationship. A damning report by a public inquiry into the dodgy dealings between Brian Mulroney and Karl-Heinz Schreiber concludes their financial relationship was, quote, inappropriate. The inquiry, not trial, keep in mind, not criminal investigation, the inquiry led by Justice Jeffrey Oliphant also says the former Prime Minister's failure to disclose his dealings with the shady German-Canadian businessman was inappropriate. So they use inappropriate 3 times here. Okay, inappropriate is in the byline of this article. Inappropriate is in the first paragraph of the mini-article. Again, this is like a 100-word Metro article. And inappropriate is in the second paragraph of the article. So they really want to hammer home that's what we should think about this. And you'll catch Obama and doing the same thing, and people putting in his mainstream news stories, they'll put what Obama says in quotes to say this is how, you know, you should define this. So the article will be titled Obama defines negotiations as, quote, tense. And then we're all supposed to look at that tense in quotes and go, that's what they are. The negotiations are tense. Obama said it. There it is. So they use very, very simple neuro-linguistic techniques on us. Why does every well-known, assassin in the 20th century have 3 names? You know, John Hinckley Jr., Lee Harvey Oswald, and who else am I thinking of here? I'm probably missing a couple. The guy who killed King. What's his name? Thank you. James Earl Ray. Appreciate the help from a colleague of mine here, Mr. Smith. I'm ready to take you one flight up in a few minutes from now. But yeah, they all have 3 names, at least from what I've researched, because it makes them easier to remember in our minds. It has a rhythmic musical quality to it, much like people study advertising and advertising jingles and so on, and will figure out how to say, you know, I love happy tall pea soup or whatever. Or the Intel, you know, dun, 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 the Intel sound. You know, these are designed by the social engineers in our culture who are behind these operations and who have these patsies they frame to basically brand these in our heads. So, yeah, if you if you walk around frustrated by Mr. Mulroney's inappropriate relationship, where it says here, quote, the conduct exhibited by Mr. Mulroney in accepting cash-stuffed envelopes from Mr. Schreiber on three separate occasions, failing to record the fact of the cash payments, failing to deposit the cash into a bank or other financial institution, and failing to disclose the fact of the cash payments when given the opportunity to do so, goes a long way, in my view, to supporting my position that the financial dealings between Mr. Schreiber and Mr. Mulroney were inappropriate, Oliphant said. So that's four times in this article so far, and I'm sure it's actually one more time in here, too. And this article is only 100 words, folks. It's the Metro. What are you going to do? So that's what they do. They bring out these scandals to distract us from what's really going on right now. Just as we were starting to make some stink, just as the media was starting to make some stink about the $1 billion in security costs to prepare for the G20 summit, they trot out this nonsense. Also, the flotilla fallout. Again, cover the Metro here. Harper spared controversy after Netanyahu cuts visit short. What's controversy mean? Who's controversy? Who decides this controversy? It's the media, right? Well, the media gave Harper the Code of Silence Award in 2008 for having the most secretive administration in Canadian history by far, and restricting the rules for to access to information. And then the media barely reported on it. So what the media is basically saying here is that this is actually a positive story for Harper. Harper spared controversy after Netanyahu cuts his visit short after some more random killing of Palestinians, as often does there. Because Israel's government's evil, our government's evil, U.S. government, all governments are evil. Governments throughout history are evil. Look in your own history. Look in your own memory. Look at the most violence and damage done to people on planet Earth. It's always been by governments running religious crusades, wars for conquest, pogroms. It's always been governments. They're the only ones that can amass enough power, and that because they amass so much power, that's where psychopaths want to work. So we got to keep an eye out for them. Again, here on the Metro, several hundred people staged a noisy but peaceful protest late yesterday afternoon outside the Israeli consulate in Toronto, waving placards and Palestinian flags. The protesters chanted "Free, Free Palestine" as they showed their opposition to Israel's deadly commando raid on ships off Gaza. And again, folks, this is why we got to understand the New World Order. And I've talked to some people that are activists in this movement on and off for years. And if you really care about these issues, then you'd figure out a way to deal with them. Not deal with them on a personal level, like, I feel better about this. I feel better about this. I feel, you don't just want to be chanting that. You want to get a little more tactically innovative here in the 21st century. So for you folks out there who are activists in the Palestinian cause, understand the history of the Balfour Declaration. Understand that a bunch of, Christian Zionists want Israel to be maintained until it's destroyed because they think that's how Jesus is coming back and is going to save 150,000 of them. That's another, and they're well-funded. Richard Mellon Scaife was a huge billionaire behind think tanks that promote this in the States, among others. So understand that, and understand the New World Order system that everybody works for. This fight has been going on for 50 years on purpose. The Israel was meant to create an Ulster in the Middle East, which is a Northern Ireland-style outpost, so they could stir up trouble there whenever they want to, they being the Anglo-American establishment, the New World Order. If you don't care to look into these things and you don't care to find out, then I just don't think you care. And if you don't care to take to the streets and do something before the G20 and have some sort of plan to inform people who aren't already inclined to go or believe you, then I just don't think you care. Or maybe this is an opportunity for you to consider that information and possibly to care. Carbon tax needed, says official. Environmental commissioner says improved transit is key to a green future. Uh-oh. Orwellian doublethink on page 3 of the Metro here. Carbon tax needed, and then below that, environmental commissioner says improved transit is key to a green... Well, we all want improved transits. So, but then again, here we go. Here comes the carbon taxes. Again, folks, the war on terror rapture takes our rights. Thanks to this never-ending threat of terrorism, they can naked body scan us with cancer-causing scanners at the airports. They can put cameras up everywhere. They can check on our phone calls and our emails. They can violate our privacy in ways that humans have never been violated like before, as well as messing with our minds and stressing us with fear and so on. And so that's the war on terror rapture. That's the pincer attack. And that's the one the right is supposed to believe in. The right's supposed to believe there's terrorists. We got to go get them terrorists. And then there's, of course, the global warming rapture, which is that the climate's changing. The climate keeps changing. Well, you know what, folks? I was in Toronto yesterday, and the climate changed 74 times. And I'm talking in one day. And plus, there's chemtrails out there, so do keep an eye out for the X's in the sky, the giant X lines that you see. They are affecting weather patterns. I do notice that it tends to get rainy after those. And if they mess up patio season, because we didn't whip out our handy-dandy cameras or cell phone cameras, take a couple of pictures of those lines and X patterns in the sky and post them on message boards, YouTube, and elsewhere, just to say, what the hell is that? We need to know. You can't just do that without telling us. Then, you know, what are we worth? But we're worth more than this carbon tax. Free upgrade for your light bulbs here. And again, the Great Exchange runs June 5th, 6th, 12th, 13th, and 19th at all Toronto, Rona, Home Depot, and Walmart locations. They want to sell us the mercury-filled, cancer-causing, twisty light bulbs. I've been talking about paying $8 for a light bulb since March of 2007 when the UN IPCC launched the global warming climate change nonsense. And so not going to stop now because I haven't changed my tone because they haven't changed theirs, and those folks are wrong. But enough of me, folks, just slicing up a metro for you. Going to recommend some websites before Mr. Smith takes you one flight up. To learn more about this, the big picture, the globalization, to get, you know, ideas about what's happening and to see the resistance, especially in the States, where prominent people who believe in the points of view that are expressed in this show are winning political office in Congress, in the Senate. You know, there is real action going on out there in the U.S. Canada's a little slow, we're a little sleepy, we're a little soft, but we can pick it up. This much I am confident in. So check out Infowars.com for that. Check out naturalnews.com for the best health information you'll find out there, because it's important, folks. And without your health, what do you got? Trendsresearch.com for wealth information. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com for great Alan Watt radio show and philosophical news. Henry MAKOW for a variety of information, including some really neat articles submitted by contributors, as well as info on relationships. ThePinkCross.org if you're dealing with a porn addiction or if you think that they're being engineered in our culture. Because again, that's tragic, the way we dehumanize each other and predatorily pick on each other. Got to move past that in this culture, and the groups here working on moving past that include TorontoTruthSeekers.com, include PressForTruth.ca. Thanks again to Dan Dix for the interview played today on the show. Include Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles, and include the Toronto Street News, great paper put up by Mr. Victor Fletcher, the chairman emeritus, the Frank Conspira Sinatra of Toronto, for over 10 years, lawsuit-free, talking smack about the New World Order. That's it for me, folks. Have a great day. Hope you understand that in a great city, in a friendly culture, you know, where people have already proven that we can communicate about these issues safely and effectively, receive positive feedback, keep going, improve someone's life, and get your own validation, what we do before the G20 may determine what the G20 does to us, and that's one to grow on. I leave you with my song, excuse the language, but again, I pulled it out for the show. F a protest, still in the mixing stages of this, but you'll get the point. Have a great day, everybody, and peace out. That's why I say a protest. You gon' do before this. That's why I say a protest. You gon' do before this. Long sun stay shining, I stay grinding, rain check still smiling. Gather round for class, before you gather round for your mask. While they mask the truth, I'm asking you, ain't there something you can do to tell the truth to someone new or even someone old? Don't matter, you heard it, not a story needs told. Can't wait till they burn it. We in a Orwell universe, when they